And we're going to turn and read together tonight from the Word of God, and we're turning to the Acts of the Apostles. We're turning to Acts chapter 24. It's great to have a testimony to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're familiar with the book of the Acts, you'll know that the Apostle Paul was called on more than one occasion to defend his faith in Christ and to share words of personal testimony. And God used those words to the good of those who heard. We're turning to one such instance tonight. We're turning to Acts 24 and break into the reading for the sake of time at verse 10. Paul has now come before Felix and he begins to speak. He preaches to the governor. Verse 10 says, "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, 'Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me, while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day.' And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, 'When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter.' And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." What a very interesting story that is. In a few moments, we'll look at it together. Tonight, for the time that remains, I want to turn our thoughts to these verses I've read to you in Acts chapter 24. Here before us is a very informative passage of Scripture. For like I've already said, here the Apostle Paul defends himself and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before a man called Felix. It's this man, Felix, that we want to consider together. As we continue to look at some important truths for in different times, I want to say this to you. You're here tonight without any knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're not yet saved and hope that one day you're going to be in God's heaven, and we thought much about heaven this morning. But if you hope to be ever in God's heaven, you're not saved tonight, I want to say this to you. Don't leave it too late. Don't leave it too late. You know, Satan, the enemy of our souls, is very subtle. I think sometimes that many of us as believers today don't actually understand him who is the enemy of our souls and his subtlety and the devices that he uses in an attempt to render us who are the Lord's people ineffective. He will do everything at his disposal to discourage us. He will do everything he can to make us dishonor the name of Jesus Christ. He will seek to divide the Lord's people and do everything he can to stop the spreading of this glorious gospel of God's grace. But he's also at work tonight in the lives of unbelievers. And the way that he deals with them is very, very subtle. If he cannot convince men and women that there is no God, then he will try something else. Of course, there are those tonight who believe there is no God, but the Bible says it's the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. Now, if he can't get people there, he'll try something else. If he cannot convince men and women that the Bible is not true, then he will try another approach in order to deter them. And if he cannot convince men and women that there is no real need of their salvation, then he will seek to convince them that they have plenty of time. Plenty of time. Whatever he should say to you tonight, if you're not saved and you're concerned about your soul and you've been sitting through the meetings week by week, let me say this to you, if you ever, ever want to be in God's heaven, don't leave it too late. That's why I'm turning your thoughts to this man, Felix. We know from history that he was a reckless kind of character. His name means happy. He was a freed slave, a man who had risen from the lowest ranks of society. He had forced his way up the ladder as far as his status is concerned, and he had done this by means of corruption. Because history records for us that this man was covetous, he was also corrupt, and a man who used his own personal position for his own personal gain. But there's something else about this man that needs to be considered. This man, Felix, despite all that he was a man who was given opportunity to do something with his life. This man was given an opportunity to do something about his soul. But unfortunately, he made a mess of his God-given opportunity. Turn to those verses we have read tonight for a moment. And I'm going to mention two very simple things. And I want you to consider them because I think that this is absolutely true. What we're thinking in Felix's life of so many who live today, not just in our own community, but in this particular land that has been so richly blessed with the message of the gospel over so many years. Here's a man, first of all, who was confronted with the Savior. A man who was confronted with the Savior. In other words, here's a man who knew all about the Savior's claims upon his life. Now, Felix was in a position of great authority. And that's why the Apostle Paul was brought before him, having been accused of certain things. And Paul is there before the governor to defend his faith. Now, Felix listened to him. And there's no doubt that he listened to him very carefully,
And there's no doubt that he listened to him on many, many occasions. I mean, after all, Paul was his prisoner. Whether the claims that had been made against Paul were right or not, at the start it didn't really concern this man, Felix. He listened carefully to all the complaints and accusations. He listened to Paul himself relate to his own faith. And then he listened as Paul related to him the claims of Jesus Christ upon his life. Remember, Paul had been in Jerusalem. He'd been arrested in the temple by the Jews. They'd made all kinds of threats against him. And you'll remember that he had to be rescued by the soldiers. Now, following that arrest, he was given the opportunity to defend himself against his accusers. And when it was discovered that he was a Roman, he was taken to the Sanhedrin and then on to Caesarea when it was thought his life was in great danger. It's here that we pick up the story with this man, Felix. It has to be said in his defense that Felix looked upon Paul very favorably. Look at verse 24 for a moment. It says, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And although Paul was a prisoner, there's no doubt about that, he had great liberty. According to this verse, Felix often sent for Paul. He seemed to enjoy having conversations with this man who had stirred up so much in the minds of the people. In fact, it's accepted by most commentators that the period we're thinking about here in Felix's life was a period of 2 years. Now, you think about that. Over a 2-year period, Felix sent for Paul time and time again, and listen, he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Not only was Paul favored, but I'm absolutely convinced he was faithful. I'm sure Paul had spoken to Felix of some important issues. You say to me, but how well do you know that? How can you be sure about that? Are you not assuming that because Paul had conversations that somehow you're stretching the text? Well, listen to the words of verse 25. It says in verse 24 that he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And then it goes on to tell us he reasoned with him, my words in italics, he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Now you can see tonight that here's a man confronted with the claims of Jesus Christ. Here's a man, no doubt, had heard the truth of these great eternal issues that burned within the heart and soul of the Apostle Paul, and that had actually brought him to this period in his life where he is now imprisoned for his faith. Paul would have left no stone unturned in an attempt to make this man aware of salvation. He would have reminded him that there was a God with whom he had to do. Felix may have had great authority, but there was a greater authority than him. There was a greater authority than Rome. He was subject to a greater authority because he was subject to God. And for 2 years, the Apostle Paul would have reminded him of that fact. He reasoned with him of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come. What did he speak about? Well, let's look at those terms for a moment. When he spoke of righteousness, he would have reminded Felix of all that God demanded by way of holy living. He would have reminded Felix how that a man could be justified in the sight of God. Why would he do that? Simply because man is a sinner in the sight of God, and in his sin he cannot please God. You've heard me say it often before. He gains no merit whatsoever with God. Every effort he makes It ends in him falling short of God's glory. There's nothing he can do to save himself. There's nothing he can do to earn salvation. He doesn't even deserve salvation. The only way he can be made right with God is through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. What a message this man heard. I would love to have been sitting on some of those occasions when Paul opened up his heart and opened up the scriptures to this man. Speaking about his own faith in Christ and how that he, the chief of all sinners, had come to know the Savior. Speaking about the cross where Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died so that a sinner like the apostle was prior to his conversion, so that he might know his sins forgiven. He would have spoken of how on that old rugged cross the Lord Jesus Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He spoke of righteousness and reminded this man, Felix, of how he might be made right with God. He spoke of temperance. Surely he would have told Felix of all that God demanded of those who followed after Christ. I doubt if the Apostle Paul would have done in his day what many have done in our generation, come to the end of the meeting, ask for a hand to be put up or for someone to sign a card and then leave them to themselves without explaining to them what it is that God demands of those who follow Christ. I'm sure that that's what Paul must have done when he had spoken about how a man can be made righteous with God. He spoke then about temperance, of all that God demanded of those who follow after Christ. And the best way for this man to explain this, and the best way for this man to defend his faith, was to speak about himself by words of testimony. I mean, after all, this man was a blasphemer. The Bible says he was an injurious kind of man. You've heard me say it. Not the kind of man you'd want to meet on the doorstep some night. This was a man who spent his time trying to take those who were off the way, bind them in chains, and put them into prison. Then one day, it all changes, and his life was changed. By way of testimony, Paul could easily have sung Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. When he spoke of judgment to come, he would have reminded Felix surely that the day was coming when Felix himself must stand before a higher authority. Here's a man, he's governor. By whatever means he has achieved this position, he's still there. And men like Paul were brought often into his particular place to be asked about their crimes, or they had to sit and talk about why they were brought before this man, who just had to move his hand one way or another to decide what would happen to him. So here's Paul, and Paul comes before him, and Paul's his prisoner. He's at his mercy. Paul reminds him, Felix, there is an authority greater than you. For you too must appear someday before God's throne of judgment. That's a great leveler, isn't it? And that's something tonight that none of us dare ever forget. The way that some people live tonight, you would think they were in control of their own destiny, that they were accountable to nobody. But the reality is, there is a day coming, and the Bible simply says we must all give an account of ourselves to God. Even Felix. And those who were above Felix, who had sent him to be governor down in this place, And all the great leaders of our world today who sit sometimes in places of government, almost flying off in the face of God to bring in laws that defy the very God that we worship. And one day they will all stand in judgment. All of them. And they'll give themselves an account to the God with whom we all have to do. If you're here tonight and you're not saved and you've never thought about this, I hope that you consider this. On that day, there'll be no hiding place. On that day, all will be revealed and brought into the open. Just a few weeks ago, we were reminded of those words so solemn and tragic the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he said, "If some depart from me, I never knew you." Let me say tonight, this man was confronted with the Savior. This man heard the claims of Jesus Christ upon his life. And this man was without excuse. What about you? Have you not been spoken to before about eternal issues? Have you not, some of you, been cradled in the gospel from an early age, taught the way of salvation? Have you not come up through Sunday school, perhaps sitting in church tonight, the Sunday school years long gone, and you remember all the stories vividly that pointed you to the Christ of Calvary? Maybe some of you now, in latter years, "Pastor, I've been coming to this church for 50 years. Well, unfortunately, it's not like work. You will not get any medals. But if you've been coming for 50 years to this church and you've sat in gospel meetings for that period of time and you're still without Christ, you are without excuse." Confronted with the Savior, and you need to treat that very seriously. But let me tell you something else about this man. Time's moving on, so must I. A man who was confronted with the Savior. The second thing I suggest to you, that here's a man who was careless with his soul. He'd heard so much from the lips of Paul. Now he's faced with a great dilemma. A bigger dilemma than what he was going to do with Paul. This man was his prisoner. He could do what he liked with Paul. But now the great dilemma is, if all these things that Paul says be true concerning Christ and his claims upon this man's life, what is he going to do with Christ? What a dilemma. Verse 25 says this, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. I have no doubts this man was moved. No doubts. I have no doubts he was impressed with what he heard. No doubts he was challenged about eternal issues, convicted about his own life. This man trembled. He was moved, but he wasn't moved enough. For he kept sending for Paul to come and talk to him. Time and time again, he trembled, but sadly, he didn't trust. But you know, as the story unfolds for us, it says this. After 2 years were up, Felix said to Paul, "Go your way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you." 2 years. listening to the claims of Christ, trembling, but not trusting. And he decided to leave it and to move on with his life. And he simply said, Paul, when the time is right, I'll send for you again. I can hear that being echoed tonight. Not just in this meeting here in the Lisburn Church. In other churches around our city and missions across our land, on doorsteps as others use the summer activities to proclaim the claims of Christ, I can hear this being echoed time and time and time again in the hearts of so many. And it's tragic. Pastor, I know that you're right. I believe what you say. I know it's the truth, but not tonight. Pastor, of course, I'm concerned about my soul. But not this week. Maybe next week. Pastor, I know I've had many opportunities, but I won't waste the next one. Pastor, sometime, but not this time, someday, but not today. Glad to talk with you, Pastor. If these things crop up again, I assure you I'll send for you and we'll talk about these important matters. Listen, my friend. The Bible always underlines a sense of urgency with these eternal matters. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The fact is that this time that God has given you is the only time you're guaranteed. Next week, you mightn't be here. Furthermore, next week, I mightn't be here. And I might never have the opportunity to urge you to come to Jesus Christ ever again. Many years ago, in a family home, the family were just going about their daily routine. Tea had just finished. Some of the children were told to get ready for bed, and family life was going on like it does in every other home, including yours and mine. Suddenly, some of the children smelled smoke. And then the fire alarm sounded. The family hastily made their escape through the back door to relative safety as they stood in a garden across the way. As they stood outside wondering what had happened, they watched as all the flames began to engulf their home, and suddenly they realized as they looked around, someone was missing. The oldest daughter in the home wasn't there. As they stood in agony and panicking, they looked up and they noted that their daughter was standing at a window upstairs. They could see the smoke beginning to fill the room. Just then the fire brigade arrived. With their ladders, they made their way up to the upstairs room. They hastily smashed the window and reached out from the ladder and shouted at the young girl to come to them. She said, wait a minute. He said, you don't have time. She said, just a minute. And she turned back into the room, disappearing into the thick smoke. The fireman by this stage put on his breathing apparatus that had been brought up to him, climbed in through the window to look for the young girl, but the room burst into flames.
And for his own safety, he had to leave and go back down the ladder. Next morning, when it was safe to enter the building, they soon found the charred body of the young woman. And she was lying at the room door. And she was clutching in her little hand a little inscribed jewelry box that someone had given to her. She delayed for just a minute. And it cost her dearly, because it cost her her life. Some of you, I'm convinced, have thought about this matter of salvation often. For years, you've delayed, done nothing about it, waiting for more convenient season. And I have to tell you, my dear friend, there's every possibility you'll lose more than your life. You could lose your own soul. That for the whole of eternity. You see, this man, it says, verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Here's the whole picture now. He was using Paul. And then in verse 27 it says, and after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. 2 years passed, nothing changed. This convenient season never came. And Felix departed as governor. And I'm not going to speculate what happened to him, because the Bible doesn't say. But there are some things the Bible does say, and I want you to grasp them as we close. He had many precious opportunities, but he wasted them all. He was confronted with the Savior, and it made no difference. He was convinced surely about his sin, for he trembled, but he only trembled. He didn't trust. And he was careless with his soul, for he put off this great important matter. And we don't know if that convenient time ever came. How will you leave the meeting tonight? Much has been written and said in recent days about the Belfast-built RMS Titanic. You know about it. You can't live in Northern Ireland and not know something of the story or history of the Titanic. But one story says this, that in the early hours of April the 15th, as the Titanic travelled at full speed, it received a message from another ship, warning of icebergs in the area. It's alleged that the ship's operator wrote the message on a piece of paper, never found the right time to pass it on to the captain. And the rest's history. 1,522 souls were lost beneath the icy waters. How different it might have been if the operator had acted in time and responded to the message he'd received. The same might be said of Felix. God forbid the same should ever be said of you. Confronted with the Savior, careless with his soul, surely there are lessons to be learned from this man's life. Let's pray together. Father, we realize that the devil will do all in his power tonight to convince men and women here, there, and yonder that they have plenty of time. And yet your word tells us clearly that not one of us can boast about tomorrow, because not even tomorrow is ours to claim. Would you teach us lessons from this man's life? And our Father, would those words from the hymn writer come to us with freshness and force? Be in time. Be in time. Why the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Speak to our hearts this evening, we pray. And in your grace and mercy, draw us out lovingly after yourself, for Jesus' sake.